This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
We are in our respective apartments.
And respectable apartments.
I have nothing but the utmost respect for my apartment and Karen's, which is why we are in them respectively.
My body, my apartment.
My choice. Oh. If I live somewhere, say somewhere, stay somewhere. If you live somewhere, stay
You'd
somewhere.
You'd be home by now.
Yeah. Oh, I love, that's my favorite banner. Every condo that opens up feels like they're being so clever when they have that.
Yeah.
If you lived here, you'd be home right now banner.
I remember seeing one. It was a billboard on the side of the road out by Castaic, like when you're taking the 5 out of LA to go up to Northern California. And it was like, basically, I think it was right before the Grapevine or right after. I can't remember. I think it's right before. And there's just a bunch of condos that they had just stuck up on a hill and then just like this tiny town. And it said, if you lived here, do you be home right now? And then I just went into like, I have to live here now. Like, what would that be if I had to live there right this second and become like a mortgage broker's assistant and work like a 9-to-6 job and live in those condos and eat lean cuisine every night?
Right.
What would that be like?
And it's you making that decision based on a banner that they're hoping will happen. It's ridiculous advertising. If you pull over immediately, you can live here.
Yes. In fact, that banner is law. You have to pull over right now and live here or you go to prison. You'll go to federal prison.
Those communities, when I lived in Venice, I would go to this doctor that was within the Playa del Rey. Like when you did that YouTube stand-up thing a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
It's where those people that work at YouTube and at Google and they all live in this community, and it is Pleasantville creepy.
Yeah.
It is like a gated... Even my doctor seemed like he was from Mayberry. It was like time travel.
Like almost like they're throwback 50s people or Midwestern people.
And everyone's like waving, and they have matching baby carriages. And then they'd like, hi, but then they'd watch me drive to the doctor knowing that, oh, I didn't live there. We have an outsider. Check the gate. Everyone has a little microphone on their lapel.
What if they knew what you were going to the doctor for? Like, oh, it's Mr. Foot Fungus. He's back.
Here
no.
Left leg limp. Left leg limp. Coming through again.
Privacy issue. Is that the one? Are you talking about that one that's on the other side of the marshland at the coast.
Yes.
That place, you're so right. Like you drive through the marshland and it's almost like you go through some kind of portal and you end up in this little, in a bustling little town with an Italian restaurant, anchor restaurant.
It's so and then, weird.
Like it's a split in the mountains and you can see the ocean.
Yeah.
And it feels like this is the place to go to get away from Los Angeles. But what you're really doing is going into the dark heart of Los Angeles.
Yeah. You're like cutting yourself off from Los Angeles into this underbelly of deception and Google industry job having
and search engines.
And oddly, that marshland across the street is some government protected bird estuary.
Oh.
There's like supposed to be, if you walk on those trails, which no one does, you can find bird species that like they're like, do you need to see a purple bellied pelican swan or whatever? They all yes. are supposed to live there. And I've seen nay a bird.
Do you think it's actually a nuclear test site and they're just using birds as a front?
No, I just go, no, that's how good I am at improv. No, I don't. But here's my suggestion. It is all of that is the same dirt quality with water percolating underneath that sure. is all of Venice on the other side of that harbor. None of it should be built there. Venice, the first indication being when I would go to the beach from living, you know, I live like 4 blocks away. I would go uphill to the ocean. That's so bad. You know, like if a scary tsunami wave came in, it would go wash over the high point that is the sand and then just go down to where
to fill up the pond. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so scary. And there's water underneath. Like they weren't, I bet all those buildings are slowly sinking.
Yes, for sure.
I'm so glad I got out of there.
I am too, Chris. Those houses that are in Malibu that are right, like it's almost like a glass box that's hanging out over the ocean, which I'm actually personally obsessed with and would kill to at least spend the weekend in with someone.
Yeah.
Older. Or
who's this mystery gentleman?
And kind of, he's very together and he has like a silver fox and he has like so much money that this is his fourth house. But those houses are going to go into the ocean like in our lifetime because their water is rising. Did you hear the fucking story? There was that one part of, I think it's Siberia or like, you know, northern Siberia that all the snow went away, it melted and now it's on fire. Did you hear about that?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Should we have saved that for the end?
Yeah, that's our closer. You never open with your best bit. You do the second to best bit, you fill in the middle with jibber jabber, and you end with a strong one.
You order your jokes 1 to 10. You take number 10, you put it number 2. You take number 1, put it number 10. I told you that there's a comic that told me that when I very first started, right?
Me too.
The mathematical, who?
Matt Sadler in Austin. Oh. He said, look me up when you get here. I met with him at the bar he worked at, and that's what he said. He said, open with your strongest. I had no jokes yet. Open with your second strongest bit.
Yeah.
And then this algorithm for the middle, but I remember at the end, is your strongest joke.
Yep. You go from like number, it goes 2, 4, 7, 6, 8, 9, 5. 1.
For real? Your guy like gave you a ranking system and said
literally told me the numerical set list I should have. You take your first, you order your jokes number 1 best to worst. Then you take number 1, you put it number 10. You take number 10, you put it number 2. You take number 2, you put it number 1. 3 goes to 4. I mean, literally I was just sitting there going like, I love the vibe of this, which is that you think there's a secret and you're going to share it with me. That's very generous. But also, this is not the kind of comedy I'm in any way interested in doing at all.
There is no doubt in my mind, though, that it's probably not an accurate thing that I should have been following this whole time. Because even when I think of your second best joke first and with your best joke, I forgot about that until I'm like, oh, my God, I have a TV taping. What jokes do I do? I'm like, I naturally conjure what was told to me that I ignored years ago. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, because when you're doing stand-up like night after night, you start getting into the weeds on your own ideas. And you cannot order, if you can order your own ideas 1 to 10, God bless you and your fucked up weird right brain or left brain, whichever one it is. Because I don't know, all of them seem bad to me.
Yeah.
The whole thing seems like a bad idea. So number one is not going to save me in the number 10 position because it's all some dumb shit I thought of like 3 days ago.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're giving them these positions, you're giving your jokes such permanence that you don't plan on. It's like, here's my 10 bits. I'm finally done. Time to hit the road for 20 years and develop a drinking problem.
I'm going to get it so that I can recite these and think about a book I read one time at the same time. Like, what is the point of any of that? Like, I get the, it's good for beginners because you have to acknowledge their structure in the same way that it's like, if you pick the word that ends with a K, you're going to get a harder laugh than if you do some soft thing. If you, you know, put the noun in the wrong spot, whatever. Those are all the truth because that's like human cadence and what people like.
Right.
But within your own material, I didn't ever have like the top four jokes.
Yeah.
they were all sixes.
And who would write a joke with plans to ultimately have it end with a strong cuss sound? You know, it's like, but if I took one of those stand up classes right now, I'd probably learn a lot. I'm like, oh, I should. I've been doing this 20 years and I just realized that's why that joke works or whatever.
Yes.
I should take a stand up class.
I don't know. Online. I don't believe in it.
I'm going to take an online Zoom stand-up seminar.
And then you just keep interrupting the teacher over and over. Just be like, wait a second. I have a really good idea about that thing you just said. I have the perfect example.
That's the Zoom timing.
That actually would be very... Well, I always find it so interesting that people who... who suddenly decided they can teach a class because there's no in this realm, which is stand-up comedy and comedy writing. You don't always have to have any qualifications to run a tutorial or a webinar.
As surprising as
that sounds.
I'm amazed at the misplaced confidence of I'm going to offend anyone that's teaching a comedy class, but they aren't listening right now. They're working on next season syllabus. I don't think I'm ready to tell people how to do stand-up.
No.
And I've done it for a living, but that doesn't mean I know how to tell other people how to do it for a living.
I have to say one time, Paige Hurwitz, All Jill No Jack Comedy Festival in Portland. Stacey, you know Stacey, she's the best.
Yeah, she is the best. Halal.
Stacey, I owe her about three texts, but Paige Hurwitz and I went up there and did it. And Paige was like, because Paige at the time was the executive producer of Last Comic Standing. So she's like, they're making me host like a class or whatever, you know, like a what are those called? I just put
a seminar
lotion in my eye. A seminar, yeah.
Is it lotion or hand sanitizer?
You know what it is? I picked this thing up and I thought it was body oil and I rubbed it all on my hands because I just got out of the shower and then realized it's bath oil, which I don't think it's not really the same. I don't think you're just supposed to put it all slathered all directly on your body. I'm not sure. But then I just put it in my eye and I can tell I'm not supposed to put it in my eye for sure.
It's the best way to find out.
This is my test for everything. Put it in my eye. See if I like it. So Paige is holding this seminar and she was like, please do it with me. I'm so embarrassed or whatever. And then it actually turned out to be super fun because it wasn't like we were telling these women how to do comedy or whatever. It was just like they would do their set. And then I would just be like, yeah, you don't need to worry about that thing. I think you're really worried about X and you don't need to worry about it at all.
Right.
Like, just do the thing that's funny about you, because I think there's, you know, all of comedy is you just copying the person you think is funny and kind of mimicking for a while and wanting to be like that person. And then at a certain point, it's like you use those crutches and then you can stand on your own. So like, that's usually the point where people are at a festival like that.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know how to do a solid 15 minute set. So you don't have to wear that beret. It's that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, I could do that. I could go to a class and say, oh, you don't need to do that. But I can't go to a class and say, here's what you need to do. That's like, who am I to say?
But well, yeah. Well, that's their homework. But I feel like you can go, you don't have to apologize with a hat while you're standing on stage, which I think sometimes women get led down that direction. Like they have to be a very pigeonholable type.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where, you know, like you've seen all those, there's been lots of comics as I've done sets over the years where it's like, I'm wearing my bridal gown because hell, I paid enough for it. There's all those kinds of comics, you know, yeah. Where it's like, I'm the girl that wears my purse on stage. It's like, just fucking say some jokes. Like you belong somewhere, please.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the kind of kind you'd wear at a secondhand store beret.
No, a blueberry beret, please. But was the point of
the
what
point,
were you trying to
the
say?
Point is, I don't know how to do stand up anymore.
How could you? We're past the point.
I did a show the other night. Did we talk about the show I did with dogs everywhere?
No.
I shouldn't have, maybe, but it was an outdoor show, which was a big selling point. It was on the patio at El Cid. There was hand sanitizer everywhere. Everyone had a mask. All the comics were supposed to bring their own microphone. And everyone's temperature was taken, like, which is all they did in that Chappelle thing to make it seem like it was okay. But the minute I got there, I was like, I shouldn't be here. There's too many people. And there are walls in that outdoor area. There, people weren't distanced enough. But there was puppies there. It was a fundraiser for a dog rescue place. All the more reason that I was like, it's for a good cause. But right when I was there, I'm like, I was more nervous about that than doing stand-up. And then the puppies were kind of squealy and heckly. They were adorable. But, and I don't think they were thinking about this, people that worked for the service were handing these dogs off to people, which is, we learned early on, don't pet people's dogs. If you hand me a puppy, it better be wet and soapy, because that's a virus-carrying doggy.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, so it's very nervous, and I did very poorly, and I forgot all of my jokes. Like, taking this much time off, even if we're practicing with Zoom shows, I did terribly. It was so weird how quickly I got rusty.
I think anyone would. It's not the same. Like anything that's still in your house has nothing to do with live performance. Live performance is entirely its own beast. And you have to it's not like riding a bike. It's like riding a bull or something. Or if you don't know how to do it from yesterday, you're fucked. Truly. I've done it enough times. I've tried to get back into it casually enough times and had these sets where it was like, oh, I don't even think I should have done this when I first started doing it. Like, this seems like I've gone the wrong direction in life.
Yeah.
It's like soul crushing when you fucking eat it after like 20 years of doing it.
You're right. Because I was like, oh, I'll definitely get them with this joke that works 90% of the time. And it got nothing. And I'm like, wow, even the stuff that I liked in my act, I now don't like. This did so much damage.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
Did you yell about the dogs being heckly? Were you mean about the dogs? That's why they didn't laugh. You attacked the wrong audience member.
I made that mistake. I talked about how much I prefer cats, which even the dogs could hear that. They're like, did he just say the word cat?
They're like, no, he did not.
And I brought up the fact that they shouldn't be handing them over to each other without sanitizing them. So then the audience was like, oh my God, he's right. And then they got nervous.
Yep.
I did so many things wrong when talking about these dogs. I should have ignored them. I was worried about one. There was one in the middle of the room that kept disappearing. I'm like, did that dog get taken by an alien ship? And they're like, aliens? What are you talking about? Like, they just thought I was crazy. And
well,
then
at
my
that
hair.
Point, yeah. They were just like, this fucking guy.
Yeah, they didn't like me. They were rooting for me. I think they did like me. They're just like, even though they don't, they aren't comics, they were like, he's making so many bad decisions on stage right now.
Even I can tell, and I work at El Pollo Loco.
Yeah, I was giving them a comedy class in a weird way where I just show them, unannounced, I show them what not to do, and now they're all going to start doing stand-up because they were inspired.
I think that's when I decided to stop doing stand-up, is every time I would get on stage, I would do whatever my first tiresome opening joke was, and then I would start talking about how comedy was over. And I would always go into comedy being dead for like 2 minutes and then expect that the audience would just still be waiting on the other side of me ruining their night and the money they spent and the show they're trying to watch. Like, I cannot learn that lesson, because I think stand-up comedy is the most self-indulgent thing. And then on top of that, you can actually wrench a little more self-indulgence out of it if you ruin it for everyone else while you're doing it. And I think that's what I love.
I don't think it ever went as poorly as you think it did. I've never not seen you be funny doing stand-up.
It just always feels fucking terrible.
Oh, yeah,
even when it's great.
Even when it's great, it can feel terrible, because it's like, why doesn't it always feel that great? I can't even enjoy the good shows. That's how it should feel.
Why does it feel better than great?
Yeah.
Why can't I have moments that no one's ever having?
Have you noticed recently that there's been a surge in your Live at the Bootleg album purchases?
Why, did you buy a couple?
I did. Did you see that two purchase spike? No, people are posting about it, I feel like.
Oh, really?
Discovering it. People that already liked you that didn't know about it.
It's a, I'm calling it the third wave.
Yes, yes, like ska music.
We don't ruin my third wave with ska music references. I don't. People, it is nice that people like it. And I was thinking the other day just how grateful I was that how grateful I am currently that I decided to do it, even though at the time I really didn't think I should be doing it. I was just like, this is ludicrous and almost borderline pathetic. And now that I did it, I was like, oh, good.
You mean the recording of that album? And
well, yeah, because it's, I don't know how to play the guitar really. And I just made those songs up to kind of like have something to do. And it's all very, at the time I'm saying, now I'm thrilled that I have that album, but at the time, it was just like, this is just this weird way I'm trying to tell myself what I do for a living, or like what I like, even though it's like kind of apropos of nothing.
Well, that makes it even more impressive that you just did it as an experiment. Because, so you haven't been playing guitar at all lately. Like, no. You don't pick
up. I mean, I do it at home. Yeah.
Okay.
I usually around between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. I'll have a nice concert hour. And do some covers in the front room. Real good acoustics in here for that.
I hope it's called Concert Hour, and I hope you have a reminder to have it on a dry erase board somewhere in your house.
In the laundry room.
3 to 4, Concert Hour on the
Concert
washer.
Hour. And make the dog sit in front of me.
Yeah, of course.
They're not allowed to move. Yeah.
Yeah, I tell jokes to my plants.
I actually like the idea of that. A living room concert is my favorite. Almost like the Playboy, whatever, Hugh Hefner's After Dark or whatever, Playboy After Dark.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever see that show?
I vaguely remember it.
And it'd be like a bunch of people, it's a super fake setup of like a fake party, cocktail party. But that idea of people standing around at a party and then some gal like leans up against a piano and is like, Blue Moon. I love that. I love that idea. Like kind of up close entertainment, cocktail hour type of concert.
I don't know if there's like Tig and Martha, and there was like a comedy crackpot comedy tour thing that they did as a pilot. And they did, there are people that regularly have concerts, usually folk music, I think, or acoustic music of some kind in their kitchen, or sometimes they'll rent out a small theater or whatever. And Tig and Martha did this tour in those venues. So they'd be performing in someone's kitchen or in a living room. And they said it was so great, but at the time it horrified me. The idea of being in a house with strangers and to stand up in their kitchen. I think it still horrifies me.
It is pretty horrifying because I'm sure you've done those. There's those backyard shows that sometimes get moved into the house for whatever reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've done a couple of those where, and that was when I first started doing comedy music again. And I was like, it was so, like, my cheeks would get so hot and red from being, I was like, I'm just singing at these people that are like 2 feet away from me. It's not like you're at a show.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You're the guy at a campfire that pulls out a guitar.
Yeah.
And no one knew it was coming.
And he's like, come as you are, as you are. There were so many dudes when I first moved to LA, so many drunk dudes with acoustic guitars playing fucking hits off of Nevermind, where you're just like, please stop it. Please stop it. We've all heard every one of these songs 300 times. I'm begging you.
That is so, yeah, there's always a Nirvana singer. Oh, that sounds awful. I remember I was visiting L.A., and I don't know if it was one of the nights after Lucy's laundromat or whatever, but I went to a house party, and everyone, I think that Tenacious D album had just come out, so that was just playing on a loop.
Yeah.
And you were at the party. And
I was?
Yeah, it was a
long... Woo!
And Jay Johnson and... Zach Galifianakis was sitting in the corner, and I didn't talk to anyone. I just listened to Tenacious D and nervously didn't talk to anyone.
And stared at people.
I was so intimidated. It's just so funny.
With Howard?
I was with Howard. Yeah. He brought me to that party.
Yeah. I loved those Lucy's laundromat days were the most fun. It was just insanity.
We'll talk about a show that didn't. The most unlikely, unsuspecting audience of people actually doing laundry.
Yes.
In a lot of cases, like people that were washing clothes for someone else, and maybe they didn't even speak English or they didn't want us talking. And the bathroom is right behind you. It was just everything. I remember the men's bathroom was right behind the stage. People are just going in. and I just tried to talk. So what are you washing? Underwear? Like it was horrifying. It was horrifying.
It was. It also was the kind of thing where it made me start to realize I need to write good enough material that if I say it in the middle of a room, even if I don't, like, even if there aren't audible laughs, that I don't feel bad.
Right.
You know what I mean? That I have to like the thing that's coming out of my mouth and I have to stand behind it and not, because every time I would just like, at that stage especially, you couldn't get anyone to like you. No one did material there because everyone was immediately in this psychotic panic.
What you're describing is exactly how it feels to do these online comedy shows. Ugh. There's no reaction. And I've been doing them, so I don't waste my one-liners, because if there's no reaction, it's like, oh, that felt terrible. So I've just become this online storyteller comic, because I have control over that, and it doesn't matter if there's laughs during that. I don't know.
It does matter. It does matter, though.
Yeah.
It's comedy. That's all that fucking matters. It's comedy.
It's stand-up
comedy live.
I mean, it doesn't matter that I'm not hearing them as much. If it's not here's the end of a joke.
It matters.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's just...
I would never be able to do one of those shows. It just seems like torturous.
Well, one time, the audience was involved. So it's like we're doing right now, but there was like 30 squares of well-behaved audience people also in the room, quote unquote, and they, I can't believe I just went quote unquote and did hand quotes as I, Jesus. Anyway, and it was working great. You could hear them all laughing until someone's blender went off and a dog started barking and then the whole show went to shit. But it was fun up till that point.
Well, it should be required muted. Oh, because you want to be able to hear people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually it's required muted, but this one was being experimental.
Well, see, because that makes sense, though, because I can't imagine there aren't more stories that the story isn't that the blender went off, but it was like, and then this guy just stood up and started jerking off. It just all feels like it's waiting for like a chat roulette style.
Right. this audience of it was trusted repeat people to the actual live show. So it's like, this guy always goes to the show in Boulder, Colorado. Like, this, it's this show in Boulder. And so they put 15 people that they trusted in the room. And so they were well behaved and wanted to be there for comedy, but they can't control their dogs and their garbage disposals.
Who can?
Who can?
Who can?
They're
Who can?
Willy-nilly. I have a feral garbage disposal.
Do not put your hand in there.
I started feeding a kitty cat in my neighborhood.
What color? Gray.
Gray because it's got dirt on its white spots, but orange and white.
Oh.
And very skinny and meows so loudly that it sounds like it's either pregnant or in pain, but has a collar with tags on it. So,
with a phone number?
It's just it's probably a neighbor's cat.
It is,
but any cat that goes outside goes wherever it wants.
Yeah, this is a cat that it's like they just leave it outside, but the cat wants something and will come in my apartment and walk around, but won't let me pet him. But it's the closest thing I've had to companionship.
You better get some of those silver bags of tuna. Some kibbles and bits or whatever.
What about just an oversized fish skeleton?
And a little hat?
Heathcliff style.
Heathcliff, thank you.
What's the name on the collar?
I haven't gotten that close. The kitty won't let me pet it. Just comes in my house, and then when I go to pet him, he runs out.
Yeah.
But he hangs out in my living room and just looks at me with a kind face, but keeps me at a distance.
Listen, I'm going to tell you what I tell all the girls, which is it's about what he does, not about what he says. So it's about action.
So you're saying this cat just isn't that into me?
That cat's using you for tuna.
I have tuna that I have purchased just for this cat that doesn't love me.
That's right. That's how they do it.
God, I've learned so much about myself and past relationships.
Please read my book.
Have you been? Have you been laying outside and swimming and things?
I have, very much so. I've these last couple weeks have been a little crazy. So I've done a lot of I'm about to go swimming and I like put on my suit and I'm all ready. And then I just pace around for a long time until it wasn't that warm down here for the last couple days. So like, you know, I wanted to make sure I was hot enough to get in or whatever.
Yeah.
Then today I finally went outside. It's boiling hot outside today.
It's really hot today.
It's crazy. I think it's over 100.
Do you have air conditioning in your place? Like,
oh, hell yes. Yeah. All day and night.
Yeah, it's like goes through the walls and stuff, right?
Got to.
Yeah, yeah. I have like a unit, like a robot that I keep in the corner of my room and I just stand next to it. But it is unbearable. It's time for me. I got my COVID test yesterday. Negative results.
Hey, that's worth clapping for.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm safe and ready to drive up to Montana. So I'm going to, just for the air conditioning in my car, hit the road.
When are you going to go?
As soon as I have a friend that I grew up with that lives in Santa Barbara, and we're going to kind of drive next to each other, if that, like a caravan.
Sure.
In case one of our cars explodes. I'm waiting for him to be done with a house he's doing carpenter work on. And then we're going to go. So like in a week. I can't wait.
That's real good. It's nice. It's always nice to get out of town when you've been in Los Angeles for months at a time.
Yeah.
It's good to change pace. And all the shows, any shows you would do, you could do on your computer. It's not like you're going there to do shows.
Well, most importantly, this show. I'm like,
this thing.
Yeah, I'll not do other ones. Although I've been doing a lot of podcasts lately and listening to some. And ours is good. I like ours.
Yeah, I think it's good too.
Yeah, we're good at it.
I think we're good at talking.
Yeah.
And comedy.
The gift of gab is a gift for you from us. I just did, speaking of other podcasts, I just did Bridger's gift podcast and it was so fun.
How did you do?
On the Exactly Right Network. Good.
On the Exactly Right Network.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you give us a hint? Oh, wait, it hasn't come out yet, so don't tell us what
I
you gave
can't.
Them.
I know, I was about to, too. I would have spoiled it. I would have.
You signed an NDA. Yeah, you can't say
but
you can't
I'm
say
glad
anything.
I didn't know about the different, you know, sections of, or not sections. What's the word?
Segments.
Of, segments.
Segments. Thank you. You know, like the sections of a of a earthworm segments. but so they were sprung on me, and it was kind of fun. Like when we played Quiplash, it's like, ooh, it's a game. I need to react and be a human being.
I know.
Yeah.
So I love that Quiplash game. I tell you, we played it the other night with my friends, just casual game night.
Oh,
it makes
did.
Me laugh. Yeah, yeah. That's how I first found out about it was it's the game night that Bridger does. I do with Bridger and Carrie O'Donnell, but there's a bunch of people. But
yeah,
we played Quiplash, and the first couple times I was like, this is the weirdest game. And suddenly it's like, it's so hilarious because if you play it with the right group of people that are like-minded.
Yeah.
It's really funny. And like the people that when you do a fake answer or just do the answer of like there, I got one. And the question was about what would Sonic the Hedgehog do if he didn't get a certain ring or some shit like that. And I went, I don't know. I'm 50.
Like, yeah, yeah, it's like, yeah, yeah,
what
yeah.
are you fucking asking me these stupid yeah. questions for? Where, and those, it's like those kind of things are my favorite.
Yeah. And the other version that most people, even my own family has fun with is Cards Against Humanity. And it's like, I don't want to have to read a thing that isn't funny or crude. It's so fun because you're actually writing the things and making other people
yeah.
read them. It's the best. It's I love it.
There's,
I love that.
Game. Yeah. Instead of having someone's edgy comedy forced onto you,
exactly.
that's like
trying yeah. so hard. Every yeah. one of those cards.
And it is that thing of like the people that like it, and that's everyone gets to like what they like, and
yeah,
it's
no
very
offense.
Popular, and that's fine. But when you write jokes for a living, and then you see that shit where you're just like, this is like seventh grade playground stuff, where you're, but other people are like, can you believe it? And we had a bunch of drinks, and people told the truth, and it's like, yeah, you could do that anytime you want.
They are every other card mentions Hitler. Like these, the jokes are trying so fucking hard to be edgy.
Yep. Yep.
It's. And I don't, Hitler's not funny. I'll tell you that right now. I'm going to go.
You know
ahead.
What?
Yeah.
Not one thing he did was funny. God damn it.
I mean, he had some physical humor early. Just kidding.
You're thinking of Charlie Chaplin. It's,
oh,
that's
what
you've got
it
the
was.
Mustache. It's
I
very
liked
confusing.
Hitler when he is in those silent movies. Like
No. That's how you're thinking.
No, no. Yeah, it was him. He was young. Robert Downey Jr. played Hitler in
No.
I'm pretty
no.
sure. I'm pretty sure it was him.
I don't think you're right about Hitler.
No,
I don't think.
I'm thinking about the right guy.
I don't think you're right.
See, you gotta do another album. That was
See?
Just a taste of Karen's upcoming album, Live at the Bootleg Part Deuce.
I don't think you're right about Hitler. And that song takes a surprising turn yeah. after the bridge, everybody.
It becomes a table slapping rap.
Oh, no. This is a real table slapper.
Oh, that's a sign that you're listening to bad music if it's a table slapper.
That's some Dave Matthews reactions right there.
Oh, God. I don't know why, but I listened to Dave Matthews. I've been trying to give everyone a chance again since
nice.
I've been in quarantine, and I listened to Dave Matthews. I don't know why. It's just for some reason. And I listen to some old songs, and they're good musicians, of course. It's a
yeah.
bunch of, it's 30 people in a band.
Right. I think they're all the best musicians, it seems
yeah.
like.
That's, so they're
that's
not gonna...
Dave Matthews' whole thing. He's a jammer.
And I didn't like it, but amazingly, I listened to whatever Spotify will give you the most popular songs. I listened to some Grateful Dead, a band I've been passionate about not liking for a long time, to
sure.
where it's maybe the only argument I ever had was Sweet Harris Whittles. But I really liked it this time. I found
really?
Some Grateful Dead songs that really were pretty and like the harp. It was like good instrumentation.
Right. I mean, look, here in quarantine, anything can happen. You're absolutely allowed to revisit some old hates and turn them into loves.
Yeah.
Please do.
I never even gave it enough of a listen to hate it legitimately. I had never listened to it.
I this morning listened to because my friend Allison Agosti, who's very hilarious, sent me the divorce notification of a celebrity. And in their announcement, it was like they're ready to go on with their relationship and turn the page. And then I immediately sent her Bob Seger's Turn the Page. But then I sent it and I really wanted her to listen to it. But then I was like, well, I should listen to it too. And that song is so fucking hilarious and dramatic. Bob Seger and that kind of that it's like weep rock, you know what I mean? Yeah. Where they're just like telling you a story. It's so hilariously dramatic. Long haired.
Yeah.
It's like, aren't you a biker? Oh no, you're weeping openly.
Yeah, yeah. And
are you tough or the softest?
This is a recording before his Silver Bullet band, sponsored by Coors. I gotta listen. I don't know a lot of Bob Seger.
Simultaneous. I think it is Silver Bullet band. It's like an 80s hit. You've never heard Turn the Page? It's about how rockers can't keep love.
Can you sing just a sample?
Here I am again.
Oh, yeah. Here
on the road. Yep.
In the road again. And then when it gets real heavy, what's it sound like, Karen?
Turn the page. I can't remember.
I haven't heard that part.
Turn the page. You've never heard that where someone's like gets shot in the guts and then falls over and sings.
Turn the page.
Turn the page.
And make a tourniquet. Call an ambulance.
Turn the page in the phone book to 911.
Out.
Dial 911 after you turn up.
Put me in a gurney. I remember that song now. Yeah, I gotta listen to more Bob Seger. It's funny that you would. There's that the pressure to send a GIF or a sample or a YouTube video like that to tag someone's joke like you did. It's like so exciting and it's so nerve-wracking when for whatever reason it doesn't send and then it's like, well, now it's too late.
Yeah, it's too late. You have to do it. The timing of when the GIF appears is just as important as the GIF itself.
Yeah.
And I've mismanaged a couple where I tried to get them in too fast and then I pick GIFs and you have to be very careful about this. And Steven, you'll get to weigh in, don't worry, because Steven's the GIF master.
He's good at giving GIFs.
But if you pick one that's too short in its loop, it ends up being like this crazy, it's like, or too dark.
Right.
Where I tried to send one time that was like, it was a Game of Thrones GIF. And I was so excited to like send this message. And then when it actually came up, it didn't make sense. It just looked like I sent a weird like moving image.
Half the show Game of Thrones is just a black screen and you're squinting.
Yes. It's like someone in this, there's like a gleam of a sword. And I was like, this is a great choice to make, right? You know, not cool.
Yeah.
And then the whole moment, you've blown a moment. Not only have you not been funny and timely, but you like, it's almost like you kind of like, you know, when you take one of those weird steps and you trip, even though there's nothing in front of you, it's like that, but the GIF version of it.
Yeah. 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 It's a huge misstep and you will do it when you see that the other person, their bubbles show up. And they're trying to tag their own joke already. And it's like, you got to beat the bubbles. And so you
get
send
in there.
The wrong GIF.
Yep. Yep.
Sorry, what were you saying?
Oh, I just want to say there's nothing worse than sending a GIF and then just no response. And then you just have to text them later, like something for something unrelated. But it's just like sitting there. Yeah. You're just like, I'm just going to delete it on my end as if it never happened.
Yeah. Because then, you know, by the time they look at it, it's like, why the hell did you send me this? It's like, well, you weren't in the moment. It was great. I'm a curator of GIFs. I know what to send. Don't get mad at me because your timing is off.
Your eyes weren't where they were supposed to be.
Yeah, you had to go and feed a baby or something. I have GIFs to send. Or GIFs.
You know, that's also, it's GIFs.
It
that's
is.
Also, the frustrating thing is I cannot learn to let the other person have the last word. I can't. It's like I get so excited if I'm riffing with someone in a text thread and they say something funny, it will make me think of something else funny and I have to fucking answer it.
I know.
I can't ever just be like, you can up and boom, we're done. Put a button on
it. You and I have that in common. Even when we read commercials together and you go, thank you. And I go, you're welcome. I want to go thank you again. I want to be the last one to say the thing.
Even though you already are.
Thank you. You're welcome. And thank you again.
And thank you.
You're welcome again. We could just.
I have ultimate control over all of this. It's so sad.
It's okay, though.
It's all right.
And when we just did that, it was so hard for me when we did that cartoon thing together the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Because you say you have the last word literally in that scene. And I was just supposed to say, stay quiet. And I wanted so badly to have the last word. I just wanted to say something, but I think I had the restraint. I never did.
Yeah, no, you did good. I keep thinking about the part where I was supposed to just be, they're like, you're just passing the time and having a good time and working or whatever. So I'm like, put that there. I was like, there are people who do this for a living who would have thought of a good line that would have contributed to the project. Like, I kept thinking of all the people that do Frozen or whatever and how good they are. Where I was like, I'm doing work. And like, felt like absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
I just took what they said and did it, put a tune behind it. It was so embarrassing.
Yeah, they said, so you're just working on something. So maybe you're just humming or maybe singing. And so you just went directly to singing a song about working. I'm doing work. I'm humming a song. Hum, 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 work, 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 all by myself, but I'm focused on work, singing and humming and working a lot. How was that? How was that, everyone?
Guys, did I do it? Did I do literally exactly what you asked me to do and nothing more? Okay, cool.
I felt awkward during that, too. It's clearly after we did that, it was obvious doing voiceover for cartoons is a skill. And people are good at it. And yep. I am not yet that person. But I am very excited to see what they make.
Just the idea that, like, yeah, that isn't that kind of the point of trying to be good at podcasting, is then you could also maybe be seen as being good in other voiceover realms where it's like, yeah, this is the job everybody wants.
Maybe for this you, but I just want this to be a road that leads right to terrestrial morning AM radio.
Honk, honk.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Should we do some Q's and some A's?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Let's do it, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That's a perfect time. Steven, what you got?
By the way, I watched Back to the Future last night, and I didn't realize the whole movie is about him trying to get his parents to have sex. Because it's such a classic.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, and I feel like the movie is really about like getting to know your parents as people. And I'm like, if they rebooted it, I feel like they could find a different way to do that same story.
Have you seen John Mulaney's joke about the pitch meeting for Back to the Future?
No.
Hey, he's a high school kid, okay? But his best friend is a crazy 70-year-old scientist grown man. he just goes through all the, but he talks about, and he has to go back in time to have sex with his own mother. Or like, he's just pitching the whole show and it's so funny. That guy's really good at stand-up.
He's very good at stand-up comedy.
Yep.
I wonder how his Zoom shows have been going.
Yeah, I wonder that too. Everyone's doing them. Nobody has anything better. We're all doing Zoom shows.
That's right. That's the only option right now. All right, Steven, ask us a question, a good one.
Steven, and make sure it's a good one, Steven.
Steven, do it.
All right, this is from Kreetzel. If you could dispense a condiment from your belly button, which condiment would you choose?
God, no.
Gross and mustard.
Fine relish.
Oh, it's
wait,
chunky.
Wait. I want to change mine. Cream cheese, because then my belly button's like the middle of a bagel.
Oh, God. I don't want to know what other people think about anymore.
Ugh.
Okay, I'll get a real question.
Okay.
people so really crap. Love these gross questions.
They do.
I think this could apply to just any car, but it says, like, from the Red Melt asked, what features would you would be included in the perfect Dinar Taurus? But I think, like, what are the perfect features of any car, really?
Oh, well, if you don't mind, I'll go first.
Please do.
My favorite part of the Taurus commercial, and it's right around the lyric, Ford, it knows where we're going. That's right when they show the digital speedometer. Now, that car didn't have a lot of sporty lines or a nice interior, but mm-mm. That speedometer is straight out of Kit, the Trans Am from Knight Rider. Like, it had no business, and it only goes to 85. You can see that it only goes to 85 in the commercial. It's just has no place, but you can see a car salesman sitting someone down. Wait till you get a load of this. And then they show the speedometer and just cash register sound effects in the background.
They're like, please do not export this to Germany or anywhere near the Autobahn, because it would absolutely be run over immediately.
Yeah.
It can't handle it.
Just on the side of the road, stalled out, trying to flag other cars down to look at the speedometer. No, I belong here. Look at my speedometer.
I'm from the future. You're going to love this. So digital speedometer for you. And then I'm going to say, a lot of times, like during the summer, this isn't going to sound like it makes sense, because you forget in the winter, and especially if you are from California, heated seats. That when it's cold at night and you can stick on a little button and suddenly in like 4 minutes, you're warm. That's uh-huh. The best thing ever.
It really is.
Heated seats are the greatest. But I think I've told you this. My friend Karen Anderson had heated seats in her Volvo station wagon. And every time I'd ride with her, she would turn my seat on real as high as it could go, the seat heater, but not tell me. So I would start to get really bitchy, and I would be like, I don't know, who cares if we go there? And I would like get crabby.
Yeah.
And then she would start laughing, and then I would realize she had turned my seat heater
that's
on.
Funny, without you yeah. knowing. It's like, yeah. She gave you, all of a sudden you had this swamp ass attitude.
For real. It was like being turned into a toddler, where I was like, I don't know what I want. And then I'm like, oh, god damn it, you turned my seat heater.
Now this is kind of disgusting, but it is an interesting experiment. And so I'm going to talk about it.
Okay.
One time I met up with some friends after the bar. They had been drinking. I had something to do. I went there like at midnight. This is in Missoula. You know, we were all in our early 20s. And I was talking to my friend Matt, like pretty close. And he was being weird. He was talking really close to me. And I'm like, why are you trying to be funny? What are you doing? And he's like, all right, I guess I'll see you later. And he walked away, and he made it all the way down the block. And it wasn't until then, because it had cooled off, I realized that whole time he was talking to me, he was peeing on my leg. Like, he just had his penis out, and I was wearing jeans. And if you think about urine, it's just a body temperature. It's just a body temperature, his body temperature on mine, yep. Undetectable. He was so stealthy about it that I couldn't hear it. And it was the perfect bomb to drop, because he was gone by the time I was like, oh, my pant has urine on it. My pant, I have to go home now.
Wait a second.
I was
inside the bar?
No, right outside. So it was either, I mean, it was outdoors.
Sorry, his name's Matt?
Yeah, Matt.
Matt, I'm sorry. I'm writing Matt, and then I'm putting that name in a heart right now because that's the best thing I've ever heard.
Exactly. I've thought about it. I went from anger to like, oh, you're a child genius. That would be, he had it. He knew that I wouldn't know.
That's like, so good.
I think that's what I yelled as he is a block away. I'm like, how did you know that I wouldn't feel it?
Wait, that reminds me of, and Pete may have told you the story, but he was at some horrible hotel pool in Las Vegas that had a lazy river. And there was a kid, there was like, him and his friends were all super shit faces during the day. I think they were there for a bachelor party and they were going down the lazy river and some kid was like, upriver, like behind them a little bit.
Yeah.
And they were talking about something. I think this is how it went. Like they were talking about maybe something dirty or inappropriate. So, and then they turned around and this kid was like 3 feet away from them. And so his drunken friend was like, hey kid, get the fuck out of here. Whatever. Just said something like that. Uh-huh. And the kid just smiled at them. And they're like, what's he doing? And then the kid goes, I'm peeing on you. And he was just peeing into the water downriver on them. And that's my favorite story. It's like, do not fuck with little kids.
Yeah.
Do not, like, you don't know what people are capable
of.
You just don't.
Great. I just can see that kid right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was just the little kid from Richie Rich or something.
Yes. That's a little kid who had like mean older brothers or older cousins. So he knew how to defend himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knew the perfect play in a situation like that.
God, I love a sinister, rich little kid.
Yes. He gets out. He walks up to the bar and orders whatever he wants. This kid runs this casino.
And it's all based in attitude. He has so much attitude. No one's carding him and realizing he's not 21.
They're like, he can pull it off. He's 8, but who gives a shit? He's a baller. Okay, Stephen, let's move on, Stephen.
This is from McKenna Kaiser, McKenna _ Kaiser or dot Kaiser.
Your hospital.
If you could create a law and have it be named after you, what would it be?
You just were Daria with your Love Your Hospital.
That was Love Your Hospital. I needed to get it in there, but I didn't want to ruin everything.
I was going to say Love Your Permanente, but the timing was wrong. I'm sorry, everyone. I'm sorry, Stephen. What was the question? Sure. Well, mine would be the Fairbanks Law.
Okay.
And it would be based on the actions of Wells Fargo. Banks can't do unfair things anymore. It's a very vague law.
Nice. No, this is good.
Yeah, I've been pushing for it to Congress and the Senate.
I feel like Liz Warren would get behind this law 100%.
Because weren't they, what were they doing? Do you remember what Wells Fargo was doing? They were like taking pennies.
Yeah, they were like charging percentage fees. And then basically, was it the one where they would get you down below an amount? They would charge you and get you down below an amount and then penalize you for being below the amount. But all of that was just happening independently.
Oh,
was it
wow.
That thing?
Okay. Yeah, that I guess I'd never had it described to me. That sounds pretty sinister.
I could have just made that up.
I mean, nothing is more evil than charging people $30 for not having money. That's like,
yeah,
that is a like Oliver Twist level, or what I'm trying to think of. Yeah. Someone that's mean to poor people. Oh, current.
Yeah.
That's like something our current president would do.
Well, also, that's the thing that if you have very bad credit card debt and you're trying to get out of it, it's sometimes very good to hire a debt or whatever they're called, attorney.
Yeah.
Because most of the charges that credit cards charge you for are illegal, and they just do it. And then they raise your percentage. They raise your, what you call it?
Interest
the fee
rate.
Yeah. Your interest.
Uh-huh.
And so that's how people get into such terrible debt. And so if you could owe the credit card company 50 grand, but take it to a debt lawyer and they could get it down to like $4,000, because actually when I saw this whole, it was an Errol Morris documentary, and this one guy this is what he did for a living.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, these credit card companies aren't allowed to do this, but you won't ever stop them because you feel guilty because you are the one that spent all that. So people feel so guilty about using credit cards that they'll accept any charge because they know that they didn't have the money for it.
I know that's happened to me. I know that I had a normal credit card and I, what did you have to say, George? Cotton a well.
Oh, it's just, that basically, if you sue for credit card debt, all those charges are illegal.
Yeah.
And so you'll never get the, you actually don't have to pay that amount of money.
And stupidly, it's crazy. That happened to me. When I moved here, I had no debt and I had a normal credit card and I paid my rent with a, no one told me not to do this. I just stupidly was like, I need money now. I don't want to borrow money from my parents. I got a cash withdrawal with my credit card and it took my normal interest to like 29%. Mm-hmm. And I never looked, it was at a time where you didn't go online and see how your credit card was doing. I was just, it ballooned into like thousands and thousands of dollars just so I could pay my rent one time.
Yeah.
And it's all in the past and everything's great except for the world.
My law would be the Kilgariff law. And it would be that you're not allowed to talk loud in like restaurants. Like loud talkers get removed from any area where like performative speakers in an otherwise genteel and calm atmosphere.
Yeah.
They just cease to exist on their own energy.
Yeah. And I think that people have the right to do a citizen's removal of them also.
Yes.
So you don't
there's
have to
nothing
wait.
I can't take it. Like genuinely loud talkers in there everywhere in Los Angeles.
That is your law is better than mine. I'm just going to say that. Not that it was a competition. Just
everything
today,
is.
I was in a car driving to deliver my gift to Bridger, and I heard someone loud talking. I'm in a car. I had the window cracked. There was a guy on a ladder on the phone with one of those walkie-talkies setting like a Nextel phone. Screaming, like arguing with someone about something. He was smiling, but he has such a loud, brassy ass voice. And he was outside. I was in a car and I was like, that guy is ruining my peace and quiet right now. He was,
he was
breaking the Kilgariff law.
Yes, that's right. It's just, you can have a good time. But just like, and you can have like spikes of sound. That's totally fine. Sure. Like, oh my God, happy birthday or whatever. But it's, there are people's in this town, especially. Uh-huh. And I'm sure in like 2 months, I'll wish I was around them so badly. I'll weep. But
there
are people in this town wherever you have to listen to everything they say because they just demand the full fucking, I mean, it makes me insane.
One time I confronted a guy, though, at a show. He wouldn't stop talking loud and had no shame about it. And there was a show. Granted, it was a show in a restaurant and he was coming in to get food, but he was kind of watching and just talking at full volume. I went up and asked him to be quiet. He then said, thank you. Thank you for telling me. I appreciate it when people tell me that. And then he shook my hand and squeezed the hell out of my hand to where it really hurt. And I kind of pushed him. My mom had just died, by the way. I was not in a good mood. I pushed this man. And then I noticed he was deaf and he had a hearing aid. And that's why he was talking loud. And that's why he said, I appreciate you telling me.
He meant it.
I don't know why he squeezed the hell out of my hand. Other senses
do it that way.
Take over for other senses when they're. He became very strong because he couldn't hear. And he and I was like pretty much hugged him after that. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I didn't know what he meant when he said thank you. It was so awkward. And I just admitted that I was a bad person that night. But
well, I mean, that's the. The problem with, because wait, were you going to do a set? Were you about to go on stage?
I was about to go up, yeah.
Yeah. So you're basically like, I'm not fucking dealing with you while I'm up there trying to deal with myself.
And he...
So you shut up.
I have arthritic... He really hurt my hand. And I think he did that on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a big guy that worked at the gas station across the street. He was like a... But the reason he was talking loud is he was deaf. So that's what I was focused on. Like, oh, my God, this is embarrassing.
Well, it's the thing that you have to consider when before you go over, or if you're going to go over to tell someone something, you have to keep in mind that there are still reasons that would be acceptable to you, so you don't have to already be mad.
Oh, my God.
But the handshaking thing, I'm telling you, I've had that happen a couple times. People, when they meet you and they shake your hand so hard, they crush it. There was one that happened to me one time and I left. I was like, that was one of the most aggressive, bizarre and passive aggressive things where it's like, if you're somehow mad at me, then say it. But we're shaking hands. It's like you tricked me.
There is
I was really pissed.
Something that someone told them when they were a kid by their dad, a firm handshake is what sells cars and gets.
Yeah.
And so there's man and Donald and Trump, not to keep talking about Trump, but he, you know, that you can watch mega edits of him grabbing hands and yanking yes. people towards him.
Yeah.
And it's people that are being hurt. But he thinks it's like, oh, it shows that you're a man if you squeeze the hell out of someone's hand. And
that's my favorite is the one where Trump is walking and it's like it's the G8 or whatever, someone of those global meetings. And he just pulls the guy back by the shoulder and gets ahead of him. That's like, and that was year one. And I was like, oh my God, he's the worst person on the planet.
That was incredible. I remember that too.
So embarrassing. Like he yanked
like a
the
prime
president
minister.
Of France. Yeah. It wasn't Macron. It was like, but so unbelievable. Okay. One last question, Stephen, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah. Like a blanket baby.
This is from Donetti. If you could witness or participate, I like the part about participating because it always feels like these questions are like if you could go back in time and look at something. But Donetti says if you could witness, but if you could participate in any event in history, what would it be?
Wow.
I mean, history is so long.
I know. I just keep thinking of scenes from that terrible Forrest Gump movie.
The first jog.
Yeah.
You know what? I have my answer.
Okay, good.
Because this is, I am very strangely and deeply obsessed with Victorian England. And if I could go back and walk around on the streets of London town, the streets of old Blighty, the foggy London town, and see all of the abject poverty and the terrible coal burning, like, there's a very ornate kind of like I would love to go back to Victorian England and then go into a place like Charles Dickens' old curiosity shop, which was basically like a vintage store, but in England. So it was even older stuff. Like how insane would that be where you could go look at like antiques from Victorian time? So that would be stuff from the 1700s or the 1600s or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, that would be. Or they are artwork, like paintings.
Or like, it used to just have big cinder piles in the middle of town. Like a big cinder pile. One of my favorite. It's Bleak House, I think. I think it's Bleak. Whatever. But it's one of those stories that I love that's on like BBC. And it just like, this husband and wife and their job, their whole business is just big piles of cinder. People come and dump the cinder in front of their house. And then they have people that pick through it in case there's anything in there that's worth anything.
Oh, God.
I mean, insane. Like, I would love to see that shit.
Or like during the gin craze, there'd be men with wheelbarrows filled with gin and you could pay a shilling and bring your cup and just go in and take a swig of gin that was probably laced with like arsenic or turpentine. Yep.
It's just made with paint.
Yeah.
Well, I guess speaking of arsenic, mine would be... I would go to Butte, Montana during the mining boom.
Mm.
The Berkeley Pit is filled with arsenic. That's why I said that. And kind of like, it would be really cool to like strike it rich in Montana and be one of the people that, wait, do we know, are we going back in time knowing what we know now?
Yeah, I'm sure. It's like you can have, it's like you're almost like, it's like Westworld. You're like, like you get to just participate in
history.
You
just get to see what that time was like, well, but still be yourself.
It sounds selfish, and along the way, I would help people, and but I would also make it to where I found gold in Montana.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh.
Also, I would want to go back to when there was still witchcraft.
Yeah. Save like those ladies.
Yeah.
Yours
well,
is
no,
better.
Like, no, no, no. But not like where there was actual magic. Like the whole premise of the book, Jonathan Norell and Mr. Strange, is like there used to be magic in the world and basically just government and church types bought up all the books with the spells in them so that you couldn't look at them and no one could learn the spells. You're, and they basically hoard.
That's
not, it's not
thing?
True. No,
okay,
no, no. This
okay,
is a novel.
Okay. It's a but premise it's the, of a book. Okay.
It's the, but isn't it the best premise?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It's very believable. It's like, it yes, is. There was a time where it was like Eye of Newt and those were in books and like those books began to be hoarded by rich people and saved. Oh. And then no one, it was like, what do they call that? Esoteric knowledge or whatever, like secret knowledge. You can't. You have to be in a certain club to know about it.
But instead, those get burned or thrown away, and then everyone just believes in the Bible that has no usable spells in it.
The only one is turning water to wine, which I can't do as a non-priest.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's the cause of most alcoholism. It's the worst part of the Bible.
It's not even funny.
Everyone's drunk. It's not even funny.
It's not even that funny. All right. Should we wrap it down?
Sure.
That's a good one.
Let's ship it out. Let's wrap it up. Let's, rub it down.
Let's
oh,
wrap
no.
it and ship it and stamp it.
Signed, sealed, delivered.
Come
it's
on.
Yours. Sorry.
That makes me think of when I used to work at a children's clothing company and natural diaper company in between flunking out of college. And moving to San Francisco to start stand-up, I moved back to Petaluma for a year and then worked at this place, BioBottoms, which is a children's, like, natural fiber clothing company and reusable diaper. It was, like, hippie stuff that was also for very rich ladies.
But BioBottoms is a great name.
I know, right? And it was, like, two ladies started it and became millionaires. It was a very cool. Like, story. But the shipping department used to come and show us stuff that they accidentally got in their return packages. And it was insane. And some people sent back
dirty diapers.
Shit. Yes.
I'd like to get my money back. And it's just a box of baby shit.
And here's why. Here's why. You didn't catch it.
That's so gross. The last thing you want to get as a diaper manufacturer is a return.
This diaper failed.
Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Return diaper. That had a leaky leg hole, and here's the proof. Yeah. Oh, gross.
Here's the proof. You guys deal with it.
I hate poop.
I think this podcast is getting better every episode. Yeah. The less we do, the further away we get from the original premise.
Yeah. We'll be back in the car again with guests.
Yes, we will.
We will one day.
Absolutely. I'd say.
But for now, you're stuck with us.
But for now, deal with it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anything to plug, Chris?
Just my comedy special is still out there on Vimeo on demand and at weirgnarly.com.
Weirgnarly.com.
WERENARLY.com. And now
oh,
there's...
Oh, gnarly. Are you sure it's not spelled with a G?
Yeah,
gnarly?
For some reason okay, there's good. No G in it. I know.
Okay, good.
We
good,
made
good.
It as confusing as possible. But it
perfect.
Is, you know, you have to go to a website for a lot of these things. This is just a new website. And you can also get mugs, fancy mugs and fancy posters.
Fancy mugs, eh?
Mugsies and posties. Anyone? How about
support,
the
governor? Support Chris's Victorian English merch, please.
Thank you.
He's into it.
Thank you. Thank
yeah.
you.
That's it, right?
How about you? What are you plugging, my friend?
Nothing. I'm plugging people wearing masks and adhering to the quarantine, even though they don't feel like doing it anymore.
I agree.
No one does. You're not alone.
I agree.
No one does.
Yeah.
But you can't pretend it away.
Yeah.
As all of your relatives become ill.
And it is not a slight against your freedom.
Your freedom is all in your mind anyway, friend. Yeah. Hey, man.
You thought you were free? You're a prisoner, man.
You're fucking lemming if you think you're free, man. Hey, man. Look, man.
All right, man. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride, man? D-Y-N, man?
Like A-R.
A-R, man. Honk, honk, man.
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine? Mouthhorn. Do you need a ride? 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 Do you need a ride?
With Karen and Chris.